We started preaching last week on a new series called You Have a Gift. Now, people say this in different ways. You know, you meet someone, they're super talented, or you see a kid who's like amazing at hockey or an instrument, and people will say, wow, they have a gift, or they're talented, or they're special, or wow, they were born for this. Now, maybe you've never heard anybody say that to you. Maybe your parents weren't the kind that were like, hey, you've got a gift. Maybe they were more like, smarten up. Okay, get it right or else. You know, as parents, sometimes that's kind of a go-to, right? You're trying to keep them in line. But I believe that we have been given a gift when God created us, and we have a gift. You have a gift. So let me say it again today. So if you're here today and nobody ever told you that you're special, that you have a gift, I'm going to do it this morning. You guys, you have a gift. If nobody's told you, you have a gift. If you don't know what it is yet, that's okay. Today, you just need to know you have a gift. You guys, you have a gift. I may not know what it is yet, but the Lord does, because he created you and he put that in you from your mother's womb. You have a gift. Now, today specifically, we want to go a little further, and I want to tell you this. You weren't just created with gifts, but God has more for you. And as the title says, that's not all. There's more. If you're my age, back in the day, they used to have infomercials on TV, and this guy would be trying to sell you stuff, and it looked pretty good, and then he'd say, but wait, there's more. And he would pull out another whiffer, swiffer, I don't know what they were, but you know, there was more. And if you order right now, there's more. Well, there's more. God didn't just create you with gifts. He also wants to give you spiritual gifts. And maybe you're here and you've been here from the past message. And maybe you're thinking, I don't know what my gift is. Maybe all week long you were kind of praying, thinking, what is my gift? And all you could come up with is, I'm a really good eater. I don't know. Like maybe someone goes, I don't think so. But I have good news. God has given you a great gift. You're going to figure it out. You're going to grow into it. But he also wants to give you more. And we're going to look at those spiritual gifts briefly. Again, we have a short time frame, so I won't go really long. But God wants to give you more. First of all, let's look at 1 Peter 4, verse 10. And that is the scripture where I believe that we can honestly say everybody has a gift. Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gift well. All right. Memorize that verse. If someone says you have no gifts, you can tell them, nope, I do so. If they say, what is it? And you know, tell them what it is. If you don't know, say, God knows. I'm going to know soon, okay? You have a gift. Now, God wants to give us these spiritual gifts, and I'm just going to quickly look at this. We're not going to go into detail because we don't have the time, but I want you to come away from today's message knowing, wow, I have a gift and God wants to give me more. And there are spiritual gifts available. So, and we're going to actually, at the end of this portion, we'll take a minute to ask him. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 lists 9 spiritual gifts. It says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay, we went long there. They listed 9 gifts. Those are gifts from the Holy Spirit for his people. And he goes into a lot of effort, if you noticed, as we kept reading, same Spirit, same Spirit. If you're wondering why, in that time frame, just like today, people who are not following the Lord, but maybe into witchcraft or other spiritual things, in those realms, it's a different spirit for every kind of power or thing that they possess. You see, it's called an evil spirit, and an evil spirit comes into someone, gives them a certain amount of power. And in those realms, they're always trying to get a different or more powerful spirit And so here he is telling them it's not like that with the way God does it. There's only one Holy Spirit. One Holy Spirit who actually has the ultimate power of all power. One Holy Spirit, different gifts. In other words, you and I can have different gifts from the Holy Spirit. We possess the same power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to try to become more powerful. You don't have to work harder at it. If he's given you a gift of his Holy Spirit, you have his Holy Spirit power in you. Everybody good with that? One Holy Spirit. Now, that's a pretty amazing thing when you think about it. So what that means, the pastor here, I can pray for somebody. I have no more power than you do. I have the power of the Holy Spirit. You can also pray for someone if you have the Holy Spirit and you have those gifts to pray. No different than me. Everybody understands that? So this is a freeing thing. This is amazing for you guys because you have a gift and he wants to give you the spiritual gifts. But hey, God definitely wants to give you those spiritual gifts on top of the gifts he already created you with. All right, let me tell you a little bit, first of all, what the gifts are for. Again, I'm not going to go through the list of those nine. And actually, as you'll see in scripture, there's more than just nine. There's all kinds of gifts in the spiritual realm that God wants to give his people. But let me tell you this. The gifts are for a purpose, for a reason. In Luke 24, 46, we see that those gifts were for empowering God's people. Luke 24, 46, and he said, yes, it is written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There's forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. So here, the Lord Jesus himself is talking to his followers. He's about to ascend and be seated at the right hand of the Father. It's kind of his last message. And he tells them, hey, great things are ahead. You just got to know this. And, you know, what happened to me dying and rising again, that's what God wanted. And then he says, now I will send the Holy Spirit that my Father promised. And then he says, but wait. Not quite like the infomercial, but wait. He's telling him, I want you to go to all over the world. I want you to see people change. And I want you to tell them what you saw. I want you to do the miracles that I did. But wait, you need to be filled with the power. You need to wait until you're filled with Holy Spirit power. In Acts 1 verse 8, it just kind of re-says it, but I'm going to read it again. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Everywhere. But what does he say? Don't do it until you receive power. You see, he wants you to have power for a purpose. Now, I am not preaching, oh, let's be power-hungry people who want to control. No, no, no. But the power that he gives is for a purpose. Just like the power in your homes that turns the lights on and makes things work. Power is for a purpose. Maybe you remember those 7 hours when it was 25 below and you had no power. Power matters. It's important for the purpose that you and I need. And so God wanted to give us power by his Holy Spirit, which brings those gifts for a purpose. You remember that Jesus himself was filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. Remember the story when he was baptized in water, and when he came up, it said that the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. And then it says he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. So we know that that was the time. Here he is, filled, the Son of God. Did he even need to be? Well, he did because he was showing us what we needed. And so he's filled with the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit, another term sometimes that people will use is you're anointed, or the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Anointing of the Holy Spirit, back in Old Testament times, if someone had a purpose or a calling that they were called to by God, often the prophet or someone called by God would put oil on them, and they actually rub it in, and it was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You see, in the Old Testament, there were symbolic things you could see about what was happening in the Spirit. And so anointing matters. Jesus was anointed, and in Luke 4, verse 18, he tells those around him, "This is why I'm anointed. The Holy Spirit gifts are for a purpose." Let me read it. He says, he's reading from Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus was in the middle of a synagogue, a church setting in their days, and he's reading this Old Testament prophecy. He gives it back to them, and they're all staring at him. He just read that. And he says, "Today, this scripture's fulfilled." And they are like shocked. "What? Are you saying you're the one? You're the Messiah? You're anointed for this purpose?" You see, he wasn't just anointed so he could do spectacular miracles and get a crowd. As a matter of fact, Jesus didn't want a huge crowd. He wanted to reach individuals. He wanted to teach his followers how to reach the world. And often when someone was healed, what would he say? "Don't tell anyone." That's kind of opposite of nowadays, right? Woo! Put it online. Let them see what a man I am. Hey, I did that. No, you didn't. Holy Spirit did. It's okay. I believe in testifying and praising God. If God did something for you and you want to put it online, go ahead, but just give him the glory, not a person, right? You can say, "I got healed at church." You don't have to even mention the pastor or the prayer person because it's Jesus through people. Oh, that was a little side note. Okay, let's keep going. Jesus anointed for a purpose. I love the purpose that he was anointed for. Preach the gospel or the good news to the poor. What would be good news to the poor in Jesus' time? You ever think about that? Good news to the poor in Jesus' time was a message of freedom. Because if you were poor at that time, you were likely owned by somebody, even if you weren't titled a slave. Man, you were owned. The poor were serving the Roman Empire. They were serving others. And here Jesus comes with a message of good news that says there's freedom. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I probably love this one more than the others. I mean, they're all amazing, but heal the brokenhearted? Really? How many miracles do we read about in Scripture that Jesus did? And they're always focused on outward because, of course, that's what blows people's minds, right? The woman who's bent over for 18 years and she's suddenly straight. The woman who had an issue of blood, the blind person. And yet he says, "My purpose is to heal the brokenhearted." Broken hearts are inside. Jesus does these miracles all the time still today. You see, he wants people healed on the inside. If you're simply healed on the outside and not the inside, you're just a healed mess. I don't know if you should say that, but you get the point, right? He is concerned with all of you. And I've met too many people with broken hearts. And guess what? The gifts that God wants to give you are for others and to see them healed. Have you ever run into somebody with a broken heart? I think most people have in some ways. You don't always know, because sometimes people with broken hearts show it differently. Somebody can have a broken heart and they're just an angry, bitter person. You know, you meet them and going through the store or at the till or whatever, and you're like, "Whoa, Lord have mercy." You know, but it's from a broken heart. They just have a different way of showing it. Some people, when they're broken, it comes in anger. Others, it comes in depression. For some, it comes in sadness. For some, it comes in build a wall and shut the world off. And I won't talk to anybody and I won't let nobody in. God wants to heal that broken heart because he didn't create you to live that way. And here's the great news. He heals through you and I. Maybe you're here today and you're like, "God wants to give me a gift to heal others. I think I still need healing." Well, guess what? He'll work on you. And he will work on you while you give to others. Did you know that? If you're waiting to be perfect for God to use you, well, then you're going to have to wait till you're in heaven, and then it's not going to be any use. So start now with the gifts he's given you. You know, we have an amazing worship music team. I mean, I'm just going to be honest, none of them are perfect. When they began, they were less perfect. Did you know that? So what about the gifts God gives us for real life every day beyond instruments? Give it a try. Use your gift. Don't expect to be perfect your first time, but use it. Who knows? God might be wanting to use you this week to help heal someone's broken heart, to give them that smile, that word of encouragement. He did for Jesus. He gave him that anointing for that purpose. And this brings me to my next point. The Holy Spirit gifts will always build people up. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, the Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us as a means of helping the entire church. And I'm going to read one more, and then I'm going to explain a little bit. Romans 12, verse 5 and 6. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. You'll notice he's listing some different gifts than the nine here. Did you know serving is a gift? Yes, it is. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage other, be encouraging. You can have a gift of encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. Some people are gifted in the area of generosity. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. A gift of kindness. So all of these gifts are used to build others up. I told you you have a gift. You're starting to see it. Oh, wow. You know, I don't believe you should ever limit God in what gift he can bring. He's the creator of the universe, all the stars, the galaxies that he made. He can decide he wants to make a brand new gift today and give it to you. Don't limit God. As a matter of fact, I can see that today. I am 100% sure that nobody needed the gift of being able to do tech in Jesus' day. What is happening in our lives and what's going on, God can do whatever he wants. So yes, gifts that God brings to you and I are for building others up. And let me just be really clear here this morning. There is no Holy Spirit gift for tearing people down. There's no Holy Spirit gift for crushing people who have messed up. There is no Holy Spirit gift for trashing people who are different than you. There is no Holy Spirit gift for running down people who look different than you or come from different backgrounds. Okay, now we're getting real. Let me say this. There is no Holy Spirit gift or ministry for going and destroying ministries who have made mistakes. Yeah, that's kind of an online thing right now because sometimes I see what's happening online. Did you know that's not a God-given ministry? How does that build up? And you're like, well, aren't we supposed to, you know, if things are out of order? Sure. We are most definitely supposed to call people to repentance and see people change and not be in sin. And when someone's in sin, it's a serious thing and someone needs to bring it out. But guess what? God says how to do that. He says, go humbly with meekness and go and see if you can restore them. My friend, if you truly have a heart like Jesus did and someone has messed up bad, then you're going to want to restore them and you're going to do it privately. Your job is not to crush them because they messed up 10 years ago. So let me say this, if you are truly wanting God's Holy Spirit gifts, you will have his mercy. You will be building people up. You will be bringing people out of sin because you love them, because you're trying to prove that you're more right. There was a whole group of people who did that in Jesus' day. They were called Pharisees and Sadducees, and they killed him. So church, I have good news. I want you guys so filled with the Holy Spirit gifts that, oh my goodness, you become like Jesus. And I didn't see Jesus destroy anybody. I've read through it. He didn't crush or destroy anybody. The only people that he answered and kind of made them shut up was the religious people who were trying to kill people. They brought a woman to Jesus and said, we caught her in the adultery, the very act. Moses' law says we should stone her. And Jesus just writes in the sand. He's kind of ignoring them, and then they say it again, and he says, looks up, and he says, all right, whoever here has not sinned, you go ahead, you cast the first stone. And he said, from the oldest to the youngest, They dropped their stones and they left. Old people have a little more wisdom. They're able to admit they've messed up. It takes younger people longer. But imagine that. Nobody threw a stone. And Jesus, the only person who really could have been the judge and throw a stone, doesn't. He showed mercy. But he showed mercy with a purpose. It wasn't mercy that said, keep on sinning. It was mercy that says you're forgiven, but go and sin no more. Change. That's the love. That's the mercy of him. The gifts are for you and I to build others up. And I want to say this, if you've gotten into a space, maybe, you know, and here's the thing, if you're online on social media, if you click on a couple things, it'll just give you a whole bunch more of the same thing. And without even realizing, you can go down a trail of whatever. So you got to get back, and you know, and then it'll keep trying to give you that every time you go on. So you have to make a conscious effort to say, hey, this is the trail I want to go down. I want to build people up. I want to be a light in a dark world, not a hammer, not a hand slapping people, not an argument voice proving how right I am. Okay, that was good. All right, here we got to get to the bottom line. How do we receive the gifts? This is pretty important. If you're like, well, I want to receive God's spiritual gifts, how do I do it? Get ready for it. This is deep. Ask. Oh, yeah, here we go. Luke 11:9. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Ask. Like, is it that easy? But I thought I had to be good enough, perfect enough. Ask. You know, if God doesn't feel you're ready for a certain gift, he'll say, no, not right now. And if you keep on asking, he'll say, all right, here's what I need you to do. But you ask. There's a scripture that says you have not because you ask not. God's kingdom has a principle of communication. So many people walk through life and God must not, God didn't do anything for me. God did. Ask. There's a little kid song. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. Yeah, that's, I only know one line. Most of my songs, I only know one line now. Okay. Pretty sure the end of the song says you'll receive. But anyhow, can't remember that far. Okay. Ask. When you ask, he answers. Acts 2:1-4, all of God's disciples were in one place, one accord, doing what he told them, waiting for more, waiting for the Holy Spirit. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire that sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. What were they all doing in that one upper room? It tells us they were in prayer. They're in that one upper room. Okay, first of all, they were kind of hiding out because Jesus had just been killed not long ago. They were waiting like he told them to, and I believe they were praying and asking for what? The promise of the Holy Spirit that he told them they needed. So they got together and they asked and God answered. When we go through scripture and we see some other scriptures where people are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is always a time of asking, and prayer is a type of asking, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Acts 19:1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Well, there you go. And he said unto them, what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people, they should believe on him which should come after him, and that is Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So here's the thing. You can be a believer and not yet baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay? So to be baptized or filled to overflowing, you need to first be a believer. So Scripture brings this out and we see that, oh, okay, this is good. We need to ask to be filled. When Holy Spirit fills you, he also brings the gifts that are for you, okay? Spiritual gifts. You all have gifts from when you were created, but spiritual gifts we can ask for. When Holy Spirit comes, he's going to impart to you ones that he knows you're ready for, but you also can ask. Acts 8:14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, as they were believers, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. If you remember, we talked once in a while about what happened in Samaria. That was Philip who went down and he basically saw the entire city come to Christ. Because why? He was operating in the gifts that he'd been given through the Holy Spirit, and people were being healed. People were being set free from evil spirits. It was what you might call a revival, an outpouring. Transformation was happening. They said, yes, we believe, and they were water baptized, but none of them had been filled with the Holy Spirit. God's men, Peter and John, come down and say, hey, have you guys been filled? No, we haven't. And then they do where they pray and they ask. And in this case, they laid hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, church people, we make things complicated, but I have found out that what God wants to give you, it's easy to receive. You believe, you ask. It's yours. If you're asking something from him, he said, if you believe, all things are possible to the one who believes. Anything. So if you're asking, ask with faith, which means you believe. All right, so we're going to take a few minutes here, and I want to wrap this up with what I usually do. So we always take a minute to do that here. And maybe you showed up, you're kind of wondering about church, or you're just checking this out, and you have not asked Christ into your life. You need to ask him to forgive you, come into your life. We call that choosing to follow Jesus. And again, that's easy. You use words for what you believe in your heart. So right now, I am going to pray a simple prayer, and I'm going to ask you guys to join me for that one or two who have maybe never done this. All right? So repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I choose today to follow you. Amen.